I don't know what it was. He's walking upright like a man.
Sightings in and around Vermont.
Bigfoot sightings across New England have been reported.
Red glowing eyes, about 7 feet tall.
Red eyes, big old fangs, claws coming out through. 3 inches long, you know, just sharp as they can be.
There has been another UFO sighting flying over the Royal Botanic Gardens. There are 500 UFO sightings in the world every month. The truth is out there.
All right.
So there's something I want to tell you about, and that's how...
Yeah, you spoiled me on this. Like, you gave me a little teaser. You gave me a teaser trailer. Yeah. I think it was last night.
Yeah.
And I was just like, what?
Last weekend, I convinced my mom, Erica, and I were going on Ocean Gate. And so one of my favorite things in the world to do is to just lie, but lie about trivial things. Because there's nothing funnier to me. Like, there's a period of time where people were convinced that I'd never had a peach before, and then just people bring me peaches, and there's nothing I find funnier.
Well, that's why you do it. You get free shit.
Yeah, and there's a period of time at work where word got out that I didn't know what lasagna was, and there were just random people stopping me in the hallway and explaining casually what lasagna, and I loved it. It was so good.
Okay, yeah. So I have a quick question then.
No one brought me lasagna.
How the fuck does someone explain lasagna? Could you?
So one person tried to explain. They were like, "Well, have you had cake before? You know what cake is, like layer cake?" And they're like, "Imagine that, but pasta."
What?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not wrong, but like.
Yeah, and nothing gives me more fucking joy than just finding people explaining that shit to me.
What a nuts thing to use cake as your first, like, touchstone for lasagna.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very good. Let's see. I'm scrolling through my texts because I want to see if I can't find exactly how it started. But, it was in a group text with Erica on it. That way. But Erica was asleep, but it also lends viability because she was being CC'd on the text chain.
Uh-huh.
But I knew she wouldn't fuck it up because she was sleeping. She wouldn't like chime in and like,
yeah,
be like, "What the fuck is Ocean Gate?"
So that's why you did it, of course, is because that was the one moment. That was your moment, your opportunity.
Yeah, it was my okay. So last weekend is when Erica and I were going to celebrate our anniversary.
Okay, yeah, because that's around this time of year.
Yeah, it's around this time of year. My mom just. I don't know, where in the group text says, "What are you guys doing to celebrate your anniversary?" And I said, well...
You're at 4 years now, right?
Yeah, 4 years. And
congratulations.
Thank you. And I just go, "Well, we're scuba diving." And then she goes, it's too cold for that. And I said, well, we're going to be in like a little mini sub thing called Ocean Gate, I think, or something like that. And then she just goes, "No, you're kidding me." And I went... They have surprisingly low prices for what they do. Like, it's just a good deal. So I'm explaining, like, listen, it's a really... They're very reasonably priced. So I'm just saying, like, surprisingly good. And then I get a phone call.
Okay.
And my phone call is, she just goes, "So... Hey, trying to be very nice because she might potentially be going to ruin our anniversary plans."
Yeah.
Type of thing. And then I eventually was like, "No, we're not going on fucking Ocean Gate. Why would we go on fucking Ocean Gate?"
So, okay. So, did she know what Ocean Gate was without looking it up?
She knew what it was without, because it was in the news.
Oh,
they
okay,
watched,
okay.
They watched
okay.
the news. So she would have known what it was. And I was just like, "Great prices." But I loved just the tone. The opening tone was very much like she was unsure about how to really broach the topic.
That's very funny.
It was fun.
The only reason I ask is because it literally, like, if you Google it, I think, like, one of the first things for Ocean Gate is that it's defunct. Yeah, if you open the Wikipedia on Ocean Gate, The last paragraph says, on June 21st, it was announced Oceangate's Everett office was closed indefinitely, and on July 6th, Oceangate suspended all operations. Since August 2023, Gordon Gardner has led this company as CEO until official investigations and the company's shutdown is completed. The company is out of business.
Yeah, no shit.
I wonder why. It's weird, right?
Yeah, weird. Wonder how why that happened.
I will say, for a complete and, like, batshit human being that he was, right?
Yeah.
At the very least, he was, like, in the ship.
I'll say luckily he was in the ship, because he was being told by the manufacturers of, like, their components and his engineers that worked for him, this stuff ain't rated for that. So,
yeah,
it's good that he died, because if he was being told that and was willing to put other people at risk, now he can no longer continue to put people at risk.
Well, you see, they had microphones that listened to the carbon fiber to hear when it was cracking. But you see, once the carbon fiber fails instantaneously. Yeah. There's not a warning time. You don't have a warning for carbon fiber at that level of pressure.
It just fails.
It doesn't exist.
It doesn't begin to yield. It's just, I have failed.
Oh, I'm fucked. Bye.
Yeah.
I mean, just think about any, like, carbon fiber thing that you've used and you just, like, snapped on accident.
Well,
right?
Not even the,
like,
carbon fiber. The fucking window wasn't rated for that. And, and he was told that, and he refused to fucking get the proper glass because the paperwork that travels with stuff being rated for things is expensive. So to save
it's
money,
very funny to me.
He just went with uncertified materials.
It's very funny to me, although I do legitimately feel bad for the kid. That's the only person that I feel bad for.
Yeah.
Because, like, his dad was, like, a big Titanic guy, and, like, I think if my memory is correct, he was doing it to, like, spend time with his dad, and, like, that I feel bad for. Like, I feel bad for that child. But everyone else, I feel no, like, I don't feel much empathy. I'll be completely honest with you.
When did that happen? How long? So we're late
talking about the topic. We talked about it when it happened.
Okay.
I do remember. It's just now that you've attempted to trick your mom into believing that you were going on a literally life-threatening trip.
Yeah.
But
the deal, it was such a deal.
It was such a deal. There was so much profit for our stock, our shareholders.
Yeah.
The most absurd thing about that was just, like, the sheer number of people who, like, went on that, heard the ship cracking, and then, like, didn't do anything. Like, reporters, I mean. I'll give credit to
the people who worked there, got off Oceangate and went, that was kind of sketchy.
Yes, and then it still kept going.
Yeah.
But then again, I think part of that is people, like, lose their minds over the Titanic, and I don't understand it.
I don't know how it's necessarily still interesting to this many people.
Yeah, I mean, like, it was tragic as fuck, but like, maybe it was tragic as fuck because it affected, maybe people still care because it hurt rich people.
The only thing worse than the Titanic was the movie.
Titanic
sucked.
3 hours, was it? I want to say.
I don't.
Three and a half?
And that used to be notable, was when a movie would. Now it's just all movies, which is why I just don't like going to movies.
Well, I honestly struggle going to movie theaters nowadays in general, just because, like, I don't like being around people that much anymore.
I don't like being around people. The nice thing, like, for me is, like, the mall. I have a nice theater in a dead mall.
Yeah.
And you can, like, pick your seat beforehand. Like, it's...
I mean, I can go there, too, but, like, it's still effort. It takes time. And, then, like, if I watch something... I have a 4K TV, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't get to experience the rumble, but maybe I don't really like the rumble as much anymore. Maybe I'm more sensitive to noises than I used to be. Who knows? But like, I like the ability to be able to pause my movie and then go pee.
You pause it, go pee, poop. Mm-hmm. You could decide you're hungry and DoorDash something.
I'm not as good at holding the whiz in anymore. And I was never good at it.
I was never good at it. And I'm also, that's the other thing. I'm on fucking water pills. So now I just go all the time. There's no more
we're
I'm going
depressing.
To need to pee. It is just, I have to pee
I'm
now.
I'm peeing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I drank a gallon's worth of water the other day when I was out and about.
Damn.
Well, because, so I've like reached this point in my life where if I'm not drinking water constantly, I'm like dying, it feels like, which probably is not a good thing now that I think about that as I say that out loud. But like the number of times that I've had to, I used to be able to hold it really well. The number of times that I had to pee in a cup recently.
Yeah.
Is all I'm going to say. But.
You know, I keep forgetting to, but always intend to keep an empty Gatorade bottle in my backpack.
Yeah. Well, I remember back in the day, your car was just filled with bottles.
Oh, it was filled with piss bottles, yeah.
Yeah, and I remember you saying to me, careful now. Something of that effect.
Usually open a hot piss container.
Yeah, usually we drove in my car for almost that exact reason. It's actually so rare that I drive it. I'm the passenger in other people's cars. I realized recently, because like our mutual friend Falco, right?
Yeah.
I was with him one day. He drove me somewhere, right? Because I was like visiting his house. This is like a year or two ago now. And he was like, I think this is the first time I've ever driven you. And I'm like, you're probably right. Cause I am like a pathological driver. Like I am the person who drives always. I've always been the driver. It's so like, I feel like that's a thing that just happens sometimes. You just get that one person who's just the driver, right? And everyone else is like just a passenger because that person's the one who's willing to drive.
Yeah.
So, anywho. So, yeah, you traumatize your mom, which is, you know,
fun to do all the time.
For you, very fun to do.
Very fun.
I think if I remember correctly, you also traumatized her talking about sex. You and Erica and Alice, your sister.
Oh, yeah.
All, like, traumatized her, if my memory is correct. Which I thought was very funny. But
I think sorry, part Brandon's of that mom. Might be on video, too. Because it was a very funny conversation. Yeah. Yeah.
Anywho. Sorry. you terrorize your mother. Anywho. So, originally, I was going to, for this week's episode, it's Cryptopedia, by the way. I'm John.
I'm Brandon.
And I was originally going to do an episode that was about something abstract, kind of, sort of.
Yeah.
Abstract is a word for it. Like, there is a physical thing, but it's an abstract concept. I was originally going to cover ectoplasm for this week. Okay. And then I started working on it, and I was like, oh, this is going to be a lot. Because, like, I'm going to have to explain the spiritualist movement. I'm going to have to explain this. I'm going to have to explain that.
Yeah.
That's like a lot of writing and reading and like I know the broad strokes, but I need to like go in and do the detail work to write this up. So like I'm not gonna do this, right? So instead I decided to like take it easy and do a Bigfoot episode because those are always fucking easy. Because Bigfoot is the easiest fucking thing in the world. Because really, at the end of the day, it's probably just a bear.
Yeah.
Or a hairy dude. Or a person in a costume. Or nothing.
Or
right?
nothing, yeah.
So, like Bigfoot's so easy. There's no, like, I don't have to, like, explain how, you know, people stored it in their vaginas or anything like that. Like, people don't store Bigfoot in their vagina, typically.
They don't. No one's hiding. In a Bigfoot episode, no one's stuffing cotton up their twine, and you don't have to go over, like, how cameras worked back in the day.
Yes. Like, basically. Yeah. Basically. There's a lot more to go into for ectoplasm than Bigfoot, which is just like, ooh, hairy boy.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're going to take a trip to Maryland this time, and we're going to talk about the Sykesville Monster, Brandon. Have you ever heard of the Sykesville Monster?
I've never heard of Sykesville.
Fair enough. So Sykesville, Maryland is about 20 miles west of Baltimore. And
hey, I'm walking
miles
here.
North of...
In Baltimore.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That, okay, sure. I guess, hey, I'm walking here applies pretty much anywhere. Yeah. As long as it wasn't that bridge. That's so tragic.
Oh
man.
We've been having tragedies a lot recently, haven't we, huh?
Yeah, it's almost as though, like, the decay of our infrastructure due to late-stage capitalism might cause some problems. But whatever, you know. Who knows? I don't know.
Oh, you know, my favorite thing about the earthquake that we got was I went on Twitter to see if anything was coming from New Jersey, where the epicenter was, and it was all people in New Jersey shitting on how shitty of an earthquake it was. Like, they were making fun of the earthquake for being so weak. I loved it.
That's very Jersey, I'm not gonna lie. I thought it was just a strong wind.
I was
pooping at the time.
Oh, I was at work, and it was very clearly an earthquake. But like, no one, we get them every once in a while. It's nothing.
Yeah. Anywho, so the town, it got its start in the early 1800s. It was a part of the 3,000-acre Springfield estate. And if you want to guess that it was a slave plantation, you would be correct, because that's America. No institutional racism or anything like that at all here.
Everything's fine.
Everything was perfect forever, always. It was owned by William Patterson, who was a incredibly rich man. One of the like descriptors for him on Wikipedia is gunrunner. Because he was a Revolutionary War gunrunner, effectively.
Oh, so like an arms distributor.
Yeah, but he got rich off of it. So like, it's one of those things where it's like, he helped the revolution, but like, he got rich off it. I don't know. Yeah. I always getting rich off of war is always a
our whole history.
Yeah, but it still makes me feel not great. Yeah. I'm not happy about it. Anyway, his daughter. Uh-huh. And I coined a new term for this because this is what she is. She was a Frenchaboo.
A what?
So you know how a weeaboo is like a weeb is like somebody who's like obsessed with Japanese culture?
Yeah.
Elizabeth, his daughter, was obsessed with French culture. So much so, she married Napoleon Bonaparte's younger brother, Jerome.
Oh, hell yeah. Jerome? How do you go from Napoleon to Jerome?
I don't know. It's a downgrade for sure. So Napoleon fucking hated her.
That's fantastic. She probably bathed too much. He's too busy writing letters to what's the word for a side piece in that time?
Saying side
shit
piece.
Like, don't shower, I want you stinky.
Oh god. No. So, god damn it.
Plus saying that for that era, that's a new kind of funk.
That is a new kind of funk.
To be into that.
That is a new kind of funk. I will not lie. That
like,
is
I
a
want
brand
flies
new...
around it. That's the kind of shit he was into. Oh,
I've lost the will to continue, Brandon. You've stripped it from me.
I want the hogs to gag.
I want it to be so bad that some guy in the future sitting at a laptop smells it.
Yeah.
Anywho, he rejected Elizabeth because he wanted Jerome to marry, like, royalty or some shit, like, to be, like, a political marriage. And he wouldn't even let her step foot in France, even though she had a kid with Jerome.
That's funny.
And, like, it was to the point that, like, he got the marriage annulled. Napoleon got the marriage annulled. Without, like, any interference from Jerome or Elizabeth. Against the Pope's wishes.
That's so fun. Yo, that's some emperor shit, too. I'd do that.
Like, he vehemently hated this woman, apparently.
That's so funny.
Now, I don't really feel all that bad for her, though, because, you know, she went back to live with her father, who was, like, incredibly wealthy and owned, like, a railroad and shit. So, like, you know, whatever.
Yeah, it's not like it destroyed her.
No, I don't think it destroyed her. And she was able to go to France in the end because Napoleon, you know, got put on that island twice.
Yeah, he got put on the island. She went over there. She was able to get his brother's baguette again.
No, I think that was over. I think that ended. But anywho, I didn't really look into her life that much more than that. I just thought it was funny because Napoleon touched tips with American cryptid lore again, which is like a thing he constantly does on this podcast. It's really weird how often Napoleon pops up, but I think that just might be because of like how much of a boogeyman Napoleon was in the 1800s. Yeah. Like it's kind of weird because like, you know, a certain someone may have sucked all of the oxygen out of Napoleon's monsterhood. But like back in the day, Napoleon was like the monster, like the historical monster. But you know, we have worse ones now. So
as soon as you said sucked all of the, for the first thing that popped into my head was Nancy Reagan, and I got very distracted.
The goat.
Yeah.
The throat goat. The throat goat.
The throat goat.
That's probably a cryptid. That's probably an episode. I assume Nancy Reagan's a cryptid.
She is. She's a chupacabra that needs to, you know, if she's ever empty, she dies.
God. Thanks, Nancy Reagan.
God.
You know what?
She's a walking Boston cream donut.
God damn it. So here's the thing. Actually, I will say this.
Yeah.
I question the legitimacy of that rumor. Because Ronald Reagan was too angry of a man.
Yeah, but I still... It's
he
a
did
very
too
funny
much harm.
That I,
it's a very fun. It's a very funny rumor, but that man did so much harm that if she was actually the throat goat, I don't believe that he would have had enough, like... He would not have had enough, like, motivation at that point, I feel like.
But he could have, like, told him, like, come here, Nancy, I like to watch. Like, he could have been one of them.
That's true. That is true.
Right? Because he's a man of power, and men of power have, like, some weird things they're into.
Well, he didn't always have power. Then he got power, and he got power because of Berkeley students protesting the war and all sorts of shit like that. And now we have fucking student loans, you know. Normal shot.
Yeah.
Anywho, in 1825, William Patterson had died, and a portion of the estate was sold to James Syke, the town's namesake. Beyond this, there's little else of note about the town, besides, like, the presence of a mill and a train stop. It's a pretty rural town, right? Like, only a couple thousand people. At the time of the story, it was, like, 1,400. So, like, we're talking, like, blip on the radar, so to speak. So, we're going to jump forward to the 20th century, because it's a Bigfoot story, and as, you know, we all know... Bigfoot stories pretty much don't exist before 1911. Or whenever the fuck that man came up with the term Sasquatch, or like adapted the term Sasquatch to Bigfoot or whatever. You know what I mean? Our story begins again in 1973, 6 years after the creation of the Patterson-Gimlin film, right?
Okay.
So Bigfoot is a concept in the American zeitgeist. It's
pretty
not
fresh.
Like, yeah, it's not like hyper like into the like American consciousness, but it exists.
He's not on bumper stickers yet.
Although, wait, is this after the Million Dollar Man episode where Bigfoot appears?
Because
I don't know, because there is an episode where Bigfoot shows up in that, and they parodied it in Venture Brothers, and it was very funny. I think it was a robot, too.
A robot Bigfoot?
I think so. It's been a while since I saw $6 Million Man. Sorry.
Yep.
$10 Million Bigfoot Bound. That's not it. Let's see. When was that episode aired?
The Secret of Bigfoot Pass.
The Secret of Bigfoot.
Part 1.
It was a multi-parter.
1976. So this predates
Bigfoot
showing up in $6 million
that,
Man.
That Bigfoot costume is so bad. Oh. Anywho. So it's not quite like there yet, but it's like on its way, right? So like I said, the Sykesville had a population of 1400. A peculiar story appeared on the first page of the June 9th, 1973 edition of the Baltimore Afro-American in an article titled "Sykesville Hunts for a Hairy Monster 7 Feet Tall," written by Bill Roden and Fletcher Roberts. Now, a few things about this. If you look up the Sykesville Bigfoot, this is not the first article you see.
Okay.
What you see is the second is another article. I don't even think it's the second article, but you see another article, and that is cited as being published the day that this one was. And almost all of the sources point to this website called BigfootEncounters.com, which we've encountered before. It's because they like reproduced in full that article, right? But they don't reproduce the first article.
Gotcha.
And they also didn't include all of the photos from the article. So there's a bunch of stuff that's just like missing, right? In a lot of accounting of this.
Yeah.
But long story short, I spent like a couple hours on Thursday combing through newspaper articles to find like as many of these as I can. So I'm going to kind of take you through the news the news story that is the Sykesville Bigfoot for a bit here. And it all came from the Baltimore Afro-American, which is kind of wild to me because I was originally going to start this podcast episode talking about like the population density of the area and like it's pretty overwhelmingly white, which is like not surprising. Bizarrely, almost every fucking person who sees Bigfoot and reports it, who's named, is a person of color.
Interesting.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. It's just not a thing that typically happens in these stories. But regardless,
that's because Bigfoot knows stay away from the whites. Nothing good's gonna come of it.
That's fair. Maybe that Bigfoot knows. Maybe that Bigfoot saw some shit. He's just been around for a while.
Bigfoot, it just means Bigfoot's got eyes, and he's like, don't fuck with those
ones.
That's
fair.
They're bad news.
So the article begins, "This little town of 1,400 population is like any other in Carroll County or Maryland, except it has a monster. Not a TV-type fire-breathing monster, just an ordinary run-of-the-mill everyday monster."
Why you gotta be little Bigfoot on sentence number two?
Yeah, really talking down to him. Yeah. Police estimated to be 7 feet tall. And Brandon, keep this, remember that he's 7 feet tall, around 200 pounds.
That's a skinny-ass Bigfoot.
That is a skinny-ass Bigfoot, and sort of hairy from what people told them. They say, the monster, they say, might be a man-type prowler that was seen and heard last Tuesday scrambling through the thicket by Anthony Dorsey in his section of Sykesville known as Oklahoma Hill. Now, this article does not bury the lead, really, right?
Yeah.
I wrote, it wastes no time burying the lead. I meant to say getting to the lead, but, you know, writing. And it dives right into the meat of the story. What is fascinating to me, though, and you pointed this out, it's 200 pounds, which is, like, not heavy for 7 foot anything, right?
And I'm in a heavier weight class than this Bigfoot.
Yeah.
We
so,
would
like,
not
I was,
be allowed to fight.
I was thinking about that, and I'm 5'11", and, like, you know, I've lost a lot of weight, but, like, I was over 200 pounds at 5'11", and, like, I didn't even look that heavy, really.
No,
right?
Well, you got them dense bones, that's why.
I got them dense bones.
You don't
bones.
Float.
I don't. Well, actually, no, you're right. I actually struggled with floating when I was younger, like, really hard. It was, like, so, like, there was a Boy Scout, like, certification thing that it required you to, like, float on your back. And it took me a while to figure out how to do it with my body, like, density.
Yeah.
It was kind of wild. It took a while. And I was a good swimmer. It just, I struggle with floating.
It's the bones.
Yeah. So, I looked for someone who was 7 foot tall and 200 pounds. And I found a basketball forward by the name of Alexei Pokovetsky, who is 7 foot, 190 pounds. Right?
Oh, yeah.
So for those of you at home, I like you to imagine this like lanky ass dude whenever I refer to the monster, because it's kind of fucking hilarious to think about like all this happening. And there's just like this dude, this like Eastern European dude instead of Bigfoot.
Yeah, that's funny. But, oh, like, he plays for the Thunder. All right.
Yeah, he brings the Thunder. So returning to the story, Anthony Dorsey was at home watching The Late Show one night when he heard his dog howling hysterically in the woods. So I went to investigate, Dorsey told the Afro, and was surprised to hear the dog so far out in the woods that late. Then I heard a kind of heavy sound, something like a bear running through the bush. Mr. Dorsey then gave chase to what he thought was a bear until he reached a clearing in the bushes, and he saw what he saw resembled nothing he had seen in his life. I shined a light in its face, and I saw the two eyes the size of jumbo marbles, and they were about 5 inches apart. And when it stood, it looked to be at least 7 feet tall. So, and that's a picture of Anthony Dorsey there.
Anthony Dorsey got balls, because if I think there's a bear in the woods, I don't go into the woods.
Oh, 100%. That man's got, like, steel whatever. Because, like, I would not go in the woods after a bear. I'd just be like, oh, there's a fucking bear out there. Okay. Come back in, doggo.
Yeah, it's that there's, even at work, like, we have a lot of bears and shit, so if you go for a walk, you know there's a chance, like, you're just not gonna be able to come back, because there's just bears on occasion in the middle of the trail.
And that's bear's trail now.
Yeah, that's that bear, then you have to walk all the fuck around to the other fucking entrance. It's you don't go towards bears.
You go the opposite way from a bear if you can. You don't let the bear see you.
I was out on a walk once and someone was like, they're like, look, they come get me and they show me down the trail a little bit. They're like, look, there's baby bears, and I'm like,
oh,
go fucking back inside now. We're going inside now. They're like, come look at this. I don't think they connected the
Brandon.
There's babies and no mama. We're getting our ass back in the building.
Brandon, I was going to joke and say, like, what? Did they see, like, a baby bear and, like, go up to touch it?
Three of them.
And Brandon, you basically described the thing that I was going to say in jest.
They just go touch it, but they kept getting close, because they were cute and they wanted a picture. And it'd be like,
oh,
no.
That's dumb.
Don't
That's
stop
dumb.
Going closer to them.
That's how you get a mauling.
Yeah.
Full stop.
Yeah.
Bears aren't going to be as cool as that one Sasquatch was that ate the tobacco.
No.
I'm going to tell you that right now.
God, sucking them titties.
So, the Afro learned of the Sykesville monster from a Mrs. Dorothy Cross, who called the office early Wednesday morning. Miss Cross said she feared for the safety of relatives in Sykesville because of a monster which is on the loose. My nephew, who is Anthony, saw it, and he said the eyes looked like marbles. Mrs. Cross of Baltimore accompanied us to Sykesville and courageously led us through the wooded areas and deserted roads in search of strange evidence of the going-ons.
Stop going into the woods.
Yeah, it's whatever, but, it's kind of interesting because this storytelling has like this provenance to it where like we know the exact trail that this information took, which I kind of appreciate because like a lot of the times these types of stories kind of like glaze over those bits.
Yeah.
So it's kind of nice to know that it took this like this trail, which is honestly not that like wandering or meandering, which is kind of cool because there's like less time for it to mutate. Right. When it comes to the story, I don't really think that this is a hoax story, right? Because it doesn't really strike me as something that's like a hoax. Like it doesn't seem like he's trying to hoax it initially, right?
Yeah.
But that being said, I'm pretty sure it's not Bigfoot because like Anthony says, I thought it was a bear. in his like initial thing, and then like he talks about it getting onto its hind leg, like getting up, and it being 7 feet. So like, it could very easily just be a bear.
It could have just been a bear. It could have been,
a huge fucking bear, a huge skinny bear, but a bear all the same.
Those look fucking weird. Erica, I got a phone call one day because she was on her way to work and she saw a real skinny bear and it weirded her out. Mm-hmm. Like a bear with mange almost.
Yeah.
Just crossing the street.
That's weird.
So yeah, there are weird, they're notably fucked up looking. So he could have seen just a skinny ass bear.
And it's like nighttime, right? Yeah. Like the late show's on, so it's going to be dark already because that's an East Coast show. Was the late show East Coast? If it was West Coast, it's going to be absolutely dark then. But regardless, late shows are usually East Coast because otherwise it would be too late for the East Coast to see it. Anyhow, weird ass bear, definitely on the table. Definitely on the table, right? Nothing in the description is impossible to match a bear. It can align. Yeah. So the story continues. Sykesville police officer Charles Rupp was the first policeman to arrive at the scene. I don't know whether it was a man, critter, or a combination of both.
How's that happen?
I don't know. We've had several prowler reports, but to my knowledge, no official has seen it, and as far as I'm concerned, it's all unsubstantiated. Officer Rupp says he is worried about latter-day Daniel Boones and self-styled vigilantes attempting to hunt the monster and ending up accidentally killing someone. A thing we talk about several times on this podcast.
It's a fair concern.
It is a fair concern. If anything, it is the biggest concern.
Yeah.
More than an actual Bigfoot. So Chief of Police Omer Herbert was sent out to the Dorsey residence Wednesday, and the two searched the area for traces of the prowler. Some 50 yards away from the house, Officer Herbert discovered footprints.
Okay. What kind of footprints?
Not ordinary footprints, Brandon. But footprints which would have to belong to a person who stands 7 feet or more. Three footprints were found, but only one was discernible.
What's that mean? That means one was found.
I think they found like the divots where there were footprints, but like it wasn't like visible.
You couldn't tell
whatever.
What it was. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that was like the only one you could tell like for sure that it was like, oh, I can see the toes.
Yeah.
The right print of the monster was over 6 feet away from the left print. It measured 13 inches long and 6 inches wide. Reason and common sense could infer with some degree of credibility that these prints were made by something 7+ feet tall and weighing at least 200 pounds. If these prints are, and they did this in quotes, legit, which I thought was very funny.
Why? So that's not a weird stride. Like, when you pace to measure distance, you start with your left foot. The first step with the left foot is 5. Then subsequent steps are 10, and that's in feet.
Yeah.
So for something to be 6 or 7 feet, that's just a normal, if slightly shortened pace for a normal size human.
Well, I think stride is typically, so they say that the average adult stride is about 3 feet. So it could also just be someone running as well. Like there's a bunch of stuff.
What's the first guy's name again? Anthony. It could just be Anthony running towards the Bigfoot.
Well, it was actually barefoot. It was actually toes. You did see the toesies.
He could have went out with his toes out.
13 inches long. He's got some big fucking feet.
Yeah. It's why his wife likes him.
God damn it. I don't know if he's married at this point. He might be married, actually.
Diddle me with them toes, daddy.
Ugh. Why? Ugh. It hurts my soul, Brandon. Why are you doing this to me? You're inflicting psychic damage. What are the possibilities of the foot being fake? Minimal, according to Officer Herbert, who said since the weight was evenly distributed, the chances of the print being phony are slim.
I disagree with his conclusion, but that's fine.
Yeah. So
we can still be friends.
Yeah. As we said before, like the truest threat of any Bigfoot hunt is the other people, right?
Yeah.
Because
the threat of a Bigfoot hunt isn't Bigfoot; it's scared armed men in the dark.
Yep. Yep. I've watched the documentaries. I've seen the evidence of people being like able to do really stupid shit. I know Mountain Monsters is like fake as bullshit as shit, but yeah. You know for a fact that people do shit like that. Like,
oh yeah,
100%. I mean, you've seen Ghost Adventures.
Oh yeah, I would love a real, in air quotes, version of like Mountain Monsters or whatever, but they just keep getting scared and accidentally like maiming each other. Like, no, you shot me in the foot.
I mean, that's basically, that's more, once you get deep enough out, that's kind of what happens.
Yeah.
So when the story pivots to discussions of the evidence, right, found in the hunt for the late night show visitor, right, they actually do have a plaster cast for it.
Sure.
Which I thought was interesting, because, you know, I thought there was no photo, and then I found the photo because I found the actual original article.
Yeah.
So, there's a picture right there. It's a little bit, it's rough because it was digitized, right?
Yeah. But it's still clear what it is, and it's,
it looks swollen. I gotta say, very swollen.
Bigfoot's got edema. It's,
He probably should get that checked out. I think the more interesting one is the picture of someone like it looks like a woman's foot. I can't really tell because it's like completely washed out.
It's a very dainty lady's foot. So I'm a size 11 shoe, which is puts me at about 11 inches long in the foot department.
Yeah.
So that's only two inches longer than my foot. So that's a dainty lady's foot.
It's really like not that absurdly big, realistically speaking. Like for a Bigfoot, it's pretty pretty like average.
So if you go up one shoe size for me, that puts you at 11.25 inches.
Yeah,
so that's size 12. Let's see. Let me check out some shoe sizes.
He's doing
11 and a half is size 13. So that Bigfoot's probably like about the size of Shaq's foot, maybe smaller.
Well, Bigfoot is... We're not sure that Shaq is not Bigfoot, to be fair.
We
he might just be a shaved Bigfoot.
We can't rule it out.
We cannot rule it out. So, like, once again, if we're talking about the stride, right, if it was been running, that would be very easy for a modern runner, right?
Yeah.
Like, very easy. Then again, of course, we're talking about, like, the 70s, so modern running isn't a thing. In the same way, people have gotten a lot better at running, it turns out, in the past like couple decades. It's kind of weird how much better people have got at running, which you would think is like, how is that possible? Because like we've been running for as long as we exist.
Sports medicine. So now you've got like people who like whose job it is to make you like
run better,
the perfect runner.
That's fair. The thing with the officer insisting the print being real because of like the even distribution gave me very like giant beach penguin vibes. Remember that story? Right?
Oh yeah.
It's so easy to fake a footprint.
Yeah.
Like, come on, people. Right? And if anything, I think that like a fully even distribution is actually kind of suspicious for bipedal motion because it's not even. Right, yeah. You'd expect to see like divots in certain areas, and like it not to be evenly spread out. But of course, I also don't like this is me analyzing his language. I don't know, like I don't have a good picture of the cast, which you know, whatever. And I don't have, you know, I don't know if that was his intention when he said evenly spread out. So, but
yeah.
The fun part is, the story like immediately gets. Hits like runs through some permutations from the youth.
Oh, good.
Officer Herbert did say, however, the situation could get out of hand unless people stop and realize what's actually happening. There's not enough evidence to substantiate the presence of anything. According to the officer, there are now rumors circulating around South Carroll High School about a 30-foot monster that eats kids.
Oh, perfect.
So it went from 7 feet and it multiplied to 30. So, you know,
beautiful.
Good. almost five times the size. So
still 200 pounds though.
Yeah, still 200 pounds. It was really weird. Pounds. It's got a very like stick figure vibe. Yeah. Fact or fiction? No one knows at this point. But if Anthony Dorsey has anything to do with it, answers will be forthcoming soon. Mr. Dorsey, around with a similarly inspired citizens, including a local newspaper editor, have scheduled a monster hunt for Wednesday, designed to flush out the villainous chimera once and for all. Which is such an interesting word choice.
Yeah. words have meanings. Use them correctly.
Yeah, I wouldn't call this chimera. I don't know why they went with chimera, but cool.
I don't know.
But the monster was given a reprieve from the gods, who exhibited a bit more sense than the people.
What?
When at exactly 4 o'clock, the scheduled starting time for the hunt, it began to rain.
Oh, good.
The small assemblage of monster hunters scurried to the shelter of their homes. I don't want to shoot him, said a dejected Howard Gasway. I just want to get a picture of it. Which, I'm going to say, is bullshit.
You want to shoot him.
Because this is his only appearance in the article. Yeah. However, there is a photo of him next to the article with a caption, right?
Yeah.
And he is a 15-year-old boy. And he said that he had chased the monster into the wood with this .22 caliber rifle, saying it had hair all over its face, but a man's shape, and ran through the bushes like a tank.
Now, it ran through the bushes like a grown man being chased by a teen with a rifle.
Yes. That is, in fact, what the description... That's what I hear when I read that description, yeah. Personally. Oh, shit. I'm being chased by a child with a .22. Yeah. Fuck. Somebody help.
It's just a hairy Greek man being chased by he's in Baltimore. They've never seen a Greek before. He's being chased through the woods by a teenager.
Oh god. It's weird how this article is done, though, because there's, like, a bunch of photos with captions. They also mentioned yeah. Hazel Shepherd, who had an encounter, but they don't, like, go into it in any detail. So, kind of a weird presentation. I think it might be, like, an artifact of the type of newspaper this was in. It is an interesting newspaper to read, because this is also around the time, I think, of Watergate happening, if my memory is correct. I think I saw an article about Watergate in there.
Okay.
Definitely saw a couple articles about Nixon, things along those lines. So kind of an interesting, like, snapshot into American history, right?
Yeah.
So I was able to find a chain of articles, right, like I said before, because I was looking through, like, the 3 months basically of the newspaper.
Gotcha.
And Google has all of these on like they're viewable. It looks like it scans of like microfiche or something like that.
Yeah.
So if you I have them all in the show notes, so if you want to actually like look into it and see what's going on, feel free to like take a gander and
gotcha.
Investigate on your own. You know, whatever. The next occurrence that I found was in the June 12th issue, where the monster acquires a sketch, which I've reproduced here. It is a goofy-ass sketch, I will say that much.
It's also, a fun sketch.
Also, if that is a 7-foot-tall monster, that is not 200 pounds. That dude is built like a linebacker.
That yoked.
So
it's a 320-pound yoked Bigfoot.
Easily.
He does not skip leg day.
If anything, he skips leg day, because he's got them traps.
He's all chest. Yeah.
So the second article, the Sykesville Monster Interest Spreads by Bill Roden, it tends to be the one that people point to when talking about the cryptid, right? This is like the...
Okay.
This is the seminal article, if you will. One that people like constantly reference. If you see anything about the Sykesville monster, it's going to point to the Bigfoot Encounters reproduction of this without fail, pretty much. Right. And the citation for this is terrible, by the way. Like, if you go to the actual website, it says it happened in like 72 was when it started, but that's like not what anything I read says. So yeah, and you know, it was one of those things that was like the black. When I started writing this originally, this was the only one that I had. And I was like, you know, I did my usual, like, I looked for it, but like, I don't know who originally posted this because it was like a bunch of self-referential like bullshit. So I'm like, I don't even know if this article actually exists.
I run into that all the time where it's just all a circle of sites pointing at each other, and then you never get to the original article. And I'll also find a lot. There's one I was working on during the week, and it's interesting how frequently people who type up summaries of stuff will get years wrong on their website. Like, they'll just be off by like a year or two when there's newspaper articles that have the year on them.
Yeah.
And there'll be like a site that clearly, like, I'll find the scan paper, find that this website clearly just copy and pasted from one of the five other websites that have all the exact same text.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll have the text right up with the wrong date on it next to the scanned picture of the newspaper with the fucking date on it.
Well, because people are lazy.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's the long and short of it, is people are lazy.
Yeah.
I did find the actual source, though. And, you know, I went through Reddit and typed it up myself instead of copy and pasting from any of those articles. Also, this went from being a first page story to a last page story.
Oh, God.
But like, there's a lot of articles that appear in the Afro about this, so it's kind of wild. It's like this little like saga that happens. So the article begins, "The fear and uncertainty which has gripped the residents here the past 2 weeks has been intensified by two new reports of monster sightings received by the police Friday. The Sykesville monster was seen Friday evening by an out-of-state truck driver who described him vividly." And I want you to remember that, vividly. Vividly. Very important descriptor there.
With great detail.
Yes. So of high significance is the fact that the 1,400 population 20 miles north of Baltimore in Carroll County, has jumped into national headlines in the National Afro and other news media, following the Baltimore Zoo assistant director, Dr. Ted Roth, who is a real person, I found him, called to say that he went to Sykesville determine the footprint is a large human foot with fallen arches. He said he will report after he takes another trip to Sykesville to determine what the balance of the body may be.
What? I don't know what that means.
Yeah,
is that some 1970 doctor shit? He's going to check the humors?
I don't know. But he was the actual primate expert at the Baltimore Zoo, Ted Roth.
Okay.
He died, though, like four years after this at 57. So he was pretty young.
Yeah, it's 1977. He was doing doctor shit. He's probably like drinking and smoking like a guy in the 70s.
Probably. I mean, they had to tell people that drinking, like, you could be an alcoholic if you drank beer. Like,
yeah.
Like, there had to be a campaign where they explained,
oh, how it works.
Like, you could be, like, because I think people thought that, like, if you drank beer, you weren't an alcoholic. You had to drink, like, liquor to be an alcoholic.
Yeah.
Like, they had to explain. Like,
yeah, I drink two cases of beer a day, three if it's been a rough day, but it's not liquor, so I'm clearly not an alcoholic.
I'm not an alcoholic, right?
They like, had that, yeah.
You know, that stuff. I have a cranky day if I don't drink a whole case, but, you know, whatever, I'm not an alcoholic.
Yeah. I have more aluminum than a fucking scrap factory.
God damn it.
Jesus.
So, according to the truck driver, who requested anonymity, which is always great, it stood approximately 7 to 8 feet tall and appeared to be dark brown in color. It could have been a man on stilts, he said.
Why?
I don't know.
Wait. Why?
I don't know. It gets weirder, Brandon. The driver stated that whatever it was seemed to be caked with mud from the waist down. Although he was unable to pinpoint the exact location of the sighting, the driver said it appeared to be sitting down. According to the driver, the thing, which was evidently minding its own business, stood, turned around, and sensing danger, dashed into the woods. So
vivid.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's the Bigfoot had norovirus.
What?
Shitting all over his legs.
Oh, god damn it. So, I'm still, like, not... I haven't been taken off my hypothesis that could be like a very large weird bear, right? Because like the fact that he uses the word man on stilts to describe it kind of matches with how I imagine bears walking on two legs, like if I when had to describe it. Yeah. What?
Oh, when they stand up, yeah they look kind of like a
It kind of looks like they're walking around on stilts a little bit, just a little bit.
Yeah,
right.
Because their hips, their hips ain't good for that kind of motion.
Yeah, it's not what they evolved for.
They walk awkward like a man on stilts.
Like a man on stilts, which is not what we were evolved for. So, you know, it makes sense. I do still think it's very weird that he's caked in mud from the waist down. Like,
yeah.
Norovirus aside and shitting himself to death. How do you end up with, like, just mud on your waist? That's just such a, like, if it's 7 feet tall, too, that's, like, deep mud.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm just, like, how do you get your leg, like, that part of you muddy without getting the rest of you muddy?
Bigfoot's got the shits.
I guess. But, like, there's also another problem with this story, because we don't have context about, like, where the truck driver is, right?
Yeah.
Because he says he can't remember where it was, right? But, like, we don't know if he's driving. We don't know if he's on the ground. We don't know if this is daytime. We don't know if this is nighttime. Right? And it opens up so many more questions than it answers.
Is it day? Is it night? Were you flying past Bigfoot at 50 miles an hour? Like we don't know.
Like, these are all important questions. Right? Yeah. And, like, on top of that, it's not a vivid description. He just has got big...
No.
He saw a big thing that was brown and had shit covering its legs. That's about it.
Yeah.
That's about it.
It was... Shaq had some undercooked chicken.
Mm-hmm. He traveled back in time, got some undercooked chicken, and shit himself. Or he covered himself in that, like, that printer ink. You know, the stuff that he does the advertising for. You know, it's so weird how much advertising Shaq does now.
It could have been Shaq. He was born in 1972.
Ah, shit. Did Shaq grow to be 7 feet in a year?
Yeah. Exactly, he was record-setting toddler.
I mean, he did go on to set a lot of records, so I guess that's fair.
Yeah.
God damn it. So the strange thing about this, though, is they mention a precursor organization to something that had this article on it, right?
Okay.
Which I guess is not that strange when I think about it now, after having written this, because of course they would have it. As a result of the Afro Story Friday, an investigation organization, Odyssey Scientific Research Baltimore, is on the scene. John Lutz, director of Odyssey, talked to the truck driver and said there's an additional witness in Ann Arundel who reportedly saw the monster. They don't mention anything about Ann's story whatsoever after that.
Because fuck Ann.
Yeah. So... Like, I did find the modern website. It's called Odyssey Paranormal Research now. And it's not quite a direct, like, descendant. It's a splinter group, right?
All right.
So, like, they cite John Lutz on their, like, About Us page. But they're not, like, his thing, I guess, right?
Gotcha. Yeah, I gotcha. Yeah.
So, and instead of having the June 12th date, they use June 9th as the date for the article, which is, like, really fucking confusing, and I don't understand. But regardless, the website itself is, like, absolutely laughable, right? They have a photo gallery that reminds me of an old free website I had back in the aughts.
Yeah.
The amount of orbs and camera straps in this gallery is just truly...
Huh.
It's beautiful. I took I took one of them down to add to the thing. Yeah. And like, it's so clearly a camera strap, Brandon. Like, you can see the nylon fibers.
It looks like just a shoelace is dangling in front of it.
You can literally see the weave of the strap. It's so fucking obvious. I don't know how you look at this and think anything other than like, oh, like the strap like draped over the lens somehow. Okay, that makes sense.
Maybe move it before you take the picture.
Yeah, maybe. Might be a good
idea. Paranormal activity is on the other side of the camera strap.
God damn it. It just perfectly covers it. Like I said before, though, this is like a splinter group that's formed in 1976, right? And so I thought Lutz was very measured in his response to this in this initial article. I'm going to say, I am not going to say that in a second. So this is my initial response, is it was kind of measured. But he jumps off the deep end pretty quick after this.
Oh, good.
So although reluctant to classify the thing which has been running loose in Sykesville, Mr. Lutz did say at the present time his corporation is listing the incident as an unidentified prowler until more information is gathering and more possible identification was made.
That they keep saying that sounds like there's a sexual predator in the woods, and I don't mean like a horny bear.
I mean, there might be. This is the 70s, dude. Like, shit was weird.
It is just a horny... It is a literal sexual predator. It is a bear broke into a Viagra factory. Things are getting freaky. It is a fucking menace.
So, Brandon...
Yeah?
One of the possible things that it can be, we're going to get to, less far away from that than I feel comfortable admitting.
Oh, God. Oh, no.
So, Mr. Lutz and this Odyssey Scientific Research Group appear to be far less credulous than their modern spitoff based on this. Although they do get into alien shit, right?
Okay.
Where they're like less measured in the response. And then, of course, they, as I mentioned before, they are going to disappoint me very soon. The article then... the thing that I said, like, it's not that far off of, right here. The article then curves in a strange way that feels very mid-century, right?
Uh-huh.
It is rumored that the Prowler may be an escaped patient from Springfield State Hospital.
Oh, good.
According to Dr. Fred Pulkras, superintendent of Springfield, no unusual number of escapees has been reported, and none with big feet.
So that means there is a number of escapees that is regular.
Yes. But Brandon. Brandon.
Oh, that's great.
But Brandon. We always have a certain number who leave without permission, adding that nothing is out of the ordinary. Has come to his attention.
Leaving without permission.
Yes.
Is a great way to phrase that.
Has come to his attention, Dr. Progress did state, however, that within the last 2 weeks, 10 or 12 people have taken unauthorized leaves.
What?
Included in that are in that number are one or two persons considered dangerous to themselves or others.
That's beautiful. Get this place a better gate. They need stronger doors.
Brandon, if I was the dude writing this, I'd be like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Wait a fucking second.
Yeah, I'd be like, hold up.
Hold up. Hold up. Fuck this monster shit for a second.
I feel like you're saying things very calmly. That most people wouldn't say that calmly.
You are saying some very dangerous... So, the 10 to 12 unauthorized leaves, whatever, whatever. One to two of them dangerous to themselves and others? That's the problem. That's the one that I would say is a problem.
That's interesting. Also interesting, 10 to 12 unauthorized leaves is no unusual number of escapes. That'd be great for us to know, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And like,
do the neighbors know?
Like, what the fuck is going on at this hospital, right? And like, I know things are bad in mental hospitals at this point, but like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Right? Like, which, Brandon,
God damn.
When I...
Dr. Pogress, he's just like, one or two. We had Stabby Ed. He got out.
He got out.
Ago.
You know.
We got him back.
the guy who likes to dress up in, like, gorilla costumes. He got out too, but like, I don't gorilla think it costume. Was him.
No, we've got the, oh, Bill, but he, you probably know him as the guy that likes, he likes to wear other people's faces. He got out not that long ago. It's, yeah. There's some characters.
There's,
you know,
a few of them. They're silly. They're silly. But like, also the fact that this is Brandon, I want to point out again, this was on the last page of the newspaper.
That's front page news.
Yeah.
That's front page news.
But
the fucking, if not even the Bigfoot thing is front page news, the fucking doctor's front.
The throwaway two paragraphs, Brandon. Not even two paragraphs, single paragraph realistically, because it was two sentences.
Yeah.
Three sentences total.
There's Eyeless Eddie, but he's not, you don't have to worry about him. He has, it's because he takes your eyes that it's kind yeah, of a twist
see.
On the nickname.
He can see great, actually. He's yeah. got 20/20 vision. He thinks that it's because he eats the eyes of other people, but like, we've been trying to tell him that it's not.
It's just it's really a vitamin deficiency. Yeah. Like, he just refuses to take his vitamins and a couple antipsychotics, but mostly the vitamins.
Mostly the vitamins. If he just took his vitamins, he'd be fine. Yeah. This also puts the like, you know how there was like a bunch of like escape lunatic on the loose type stories from like the 50s and the 60s and whatnot? Kind of recontextualizes all that for you a little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit. Maybe that was less of a like hysteria and more of like a, yeah, this is just a thing that happens, guys. You should know.
Guys, be aware. Joey got your fingers broke out again. Mm-hmm. Don't know how that worked. Third time this week.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus.
Brandon, you know that Gasaway kid from the last article who didn't get mentioned in the newspaper, in the full article, but he was in the photos? He appears in the photos again. This time with his 22 rifle. And honestly, these photos are amazing, I gotta say.
That he's got one, a very good eye squint. He's got the squint of a guy holding a gun.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And also, before I was going to be like, maybe like teens shouldn't be in the woods with a gun. My thoughts have changed.
Yeah.
We give all the...
That's fair. That's fair. If there are dangerous men in the forest...
So Bigfoot. He had a hospital gown on. That was kind of interesting.
It was weird.
That explains why there were no shoes on the fucking footprint.
It does, actually.
They can't have laces because they're dangerous to themselves and others.
Oh, God. So, not one, but two additional articles appear in the 19th edition, the June 19th edition of the Afro.
Do they let me guess. This is the title of the next article. Jesus Christ, the woods are filled with dangerous mental criminals.
You would think, but no.
Is it all caps? The whole article's written in all caps.
This this tells me that the Ocean Gate thing was not an aberration where like people don't report on the thing that's like actually the problem.
Yeah.
And it was just, you know, a continuation of a longstanding tradition of journalism in America. The next article, which is uncredited as far as I could tell, local citizen saw monster. Joins hunt in Sykesville. It tells the story of a man named Charles Edward Patterson, a 25-year-old who allegedly saw the monster at the end of May or the start of June 1969 in Druid Hill Park.
All these people that saw the monster, are they talking to the patients in the woods?
I don't know.
like, well, April 13th, 1977. We spoke to a 17-year-old man who claims to have seen a monster in the woods. The man also claims he's a cat.
Weird.
And won't stop licking his hands.
Yeah, it's weird.
Like, what is happening?
He said it was a cat man, which was him, so it's kind of weird. Not really sure where he went with that one.
There's the entire interview. I had to carry him on my back. It was strange.
Mm-hmm. And then in the middle, he interrupted me, walked away, dug a hole in the ground, and then took a shit in it. Yeah. And covered it up.
Yeah. Creature seen in wood, says man afraid of grass. Like, what is...
It was all green and tiny.
Yeah.
There were millions of them. So, this person says that this story happened in 69. I'm going to say immediately, I don't fucking believe them for a second, because of, well, we'll get into it. It's about 10 o'clock at night when that particular section of the park hadn't been closed in the back of the amusement area. My wife and I were coming up in my car behind the monkey house, which apparently they just had a monkey house at this park. It was
fine. All right.
It was
70s. Fuck it.
It was dark and really black. We were driving towards the lights, and that's when I saw a 7-foot monster that they're now talking about. He was 7.5 feet, weighed about 265 pounds. How the fuck do people ever estimate weight?
How do you estimate weight?
Brandon.
I'm very good at estimating weight as long as I'm estimating the weight of someone the exact same height as I am.
I'm bad at estimating my own fucking weight, Brandon. So, like, I don't know how people do it, period.
And they have to be within 50 pounds of me.
Yeah, because at that point, it's just like, I have no fucking clue. I have no clue.
Yeah.
He walked very fast, Brandon. He was very swift. He seemed to be leaving some kind of danger.
Yeah, he's terrified of the dangerous criminals in the woods.
Yeah, apparently.
Bigfoot's walking briskly because he know what the fuck is out there.
Uh-huh.
There's screaming in the woods, and Bigfoot's like, what the fuck? Did you fucking hear that?
What the fuck, like, is going on?
A man sees Bigfoot, and it's just Bigfoot running up to him like, did you just see that?
Did you just see that shit?
Are you Bigfoot? And Bigfoot's shaking him by the shoulders. He's like, they're in the woods. It's not safe here.
You gotta
and Bigfoot
get out.
Breaks into his car. He's like, fucking drive. Fucking drive.
Go, go, go.
Just like an elderly one comes sprinting out of the woods, meowing like a cat with a knife.
Oh, shit. She's got me. He seemed to be leaving some kind of danger. I stopped the car. My wife said, oh my God, I stepped on the gas. I locked the doors and we got out of the area as fast as possible. The way he walked, you could tell he was wild. When he turned around and looked at the car, I got a good look at him. He was heading to the monkey house. That's when I took off. He got a good look at him, but like doesn't really explain him more than 7.5 feet.
Doesn't explain him.
Yeah.
He broke into the monkey house. It looked like he's using them as fleshlights.
Oh, no. Poor monkeys. They
poor
never
monkey.
They never stood a chance. Before this, I didn't think anyone would believe me. I said nothing. Last week, I was talking with my wife about the picture in the afro. I knew they had pinned him down to a T. I hope they don't kill him because they could find out more about the thing if he's alive when they catch him. So I don't believe this because it sounds very, very similar to the story told by the truck driver.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really add much, right? The second article on the creature, however, is like a totally different tone. And the hot... Yeah. So that's a screenshot of what it says in the thing. Is monster eating Balto kids?
Maybe.
So Balto is short for Baltimore, but I thought it was very funny because I looked at it for a minute. I'm like... Are they talking about the dog's puppies?
Oh.
Yeah. It took me a second. So, at approximately 10 a.m. Monday, a nervous, somewhat frightened voice told an Afro reporter over the phone, I feel very uneasy about the Sykesville monster being in this area. He is as fat as can be and doesn't look a bit hungry. That's what it says. I put dat for some reason. But he is as fat as can be and doesn't look a bit hungry. Miss Taylor said recently, a number of neighborhood kids have disappeared, and she fears they may have provided the monster with some tasty meals themselves.
Oh, good.
Many children are missing from their backyards. He may have eaten them up. I'm sure he has eaten some of those missing children. Unlike other callers who have claimed to have seen the monster... Miss Taylor has done some research on the matter and told the Afro that he or she or its picture is in the dictionary. I have worked hard looking at the dictionary, what this monster is. All the animals are in the dictionary. Look on page 767, and there it is. It's not a person. An 8-foot, 256-pound monster running loose in Baltimore? Kind of makes you wish the bullets would move back to town.
It keeps getting taller.
Yeah, it does. And heavier, actually.
Yeah. It's eating well.
Yeah.
It's eating all them kid flesh.
So I'm pretty sure this is a joke article.
Yeah.
So I think that there is a bit to this joke that I'm missing, and it's on page 766,
67.
Uh-huh. And I did look at a bunch of dictionaries and from that time period, and it puts you around the S part of the dictionary if you go to 767.
Yeah, Sasquatch.
Yeah, that's true. That could be it. Oh, that could be it. I didn't think of that. Huh. Well, I didn't find that dictionary. I didn't find that dictionary. So I did find one from a 1963 edition of the Oxford Illustrated, though. And it is it's a picture of a ship. So that's definitely not a person.
Huh.
I looked up a bunch of dictionaries, Brandon. I checked out like 10 dictionaries on archive.org.
Oh, I believe you did.
Because I have a questionable ability to use my time properly. Bullets, if you don't know, by the way, Brandon, is a basketball team in Baltimore, the Baltimore Bullets.
I figured it was some kind of sports thing.
It was a sport thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jump forward a little bit. John Lutz re-enters the chat in a July 7th article. And he's quoted as saying, there's a 95% chance that this isn't a joke. So he kind of, he went from skepticism to fully believing it pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Here, Lutz makes the first concrete linkage of this Sykesville monster to Sasquatch and Bigfoot. John Lutz had stated from all the data that the Sykesville creature is probably a Sasquatch. That was spelled wrong in the article, so I kept it because it was funny.
I like it.
Related to the myth.
He's got a lisp.
Related by myth to the abominable snowman. The article then just spends the rest of the thing.
How's Mike Tyson? Is he from Baltimore?
I don't know. I think he's Philly. I could be wrong, though.
The Sasquatch. Then the woods. I punched it.
God damn it. So the article then talks about Yetis for a while, which is always annoying because the Yeti has literally nothing to do with Bigfoot. But, you know,
no,
whatever.
No, doesn't it?
So I'm not even going to like bother with that article anymore. The next notable article from the APRO comes July 14th, which is where I think that this is where the story kind of like reaches its natural conclusion personally. Sykesville Monster joins the urban set by Bill Roden. This story, the monster has since migrated from Sykesville to the body dumping grounds that we all know and love in Maryland, known as Leakin Park.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, according to the unidentified grandmother, one of the monsters was grisly and shaggy and looked like death on crackers.
That's an interesting turn of phrase.
Never heard that phrase before in my life. The other monster was much taller and was content to passively stride about the bushes, about his business. He was on his way somewhere and cut a path through Leakin Park like a truck, she said. As I watched from my porch, I saw the trees go down as he crashed through. Did anyone go look and see if the monster was there or like see if there was like a clear path? They did not.
No, because it's fucking Leakin Park.
Yeah, that's probably why. Last weekend, the monster was seen strolling through Baltimore. Well, that was a burp. Last weekend, the monster was seen strolling through Baltimore by numerous citizens. One caller called in and said the monster was in East Baltimore and was walking between two telephone poles looking really bad. The caller said that some dog howled and barked at him and then dashed away, tail tucked between his legs. So at this point, it starts to become funny, and I'm pretty sure that this is not serious anymore. So
yeah.
I kind of disconnect from the afro at this point in my like research. And I find a article by Ed Okonowitz, Monsters of Maryland, Mysterious Creatures in the Old Line State. And it has a section about the Sykesville monster that is a fairly abridged version of the story that I've already talked about. However, Okonowitz does a really weird thing in this story. He links this monster to the Snallygaster.
Huh.
Yeah, which I don't understand. Because for those of you who don't know, the Snallygaster is like this like reptile monster, right? Like,
yeah.
It's like
I'm trying to pull up like
it's like a kind of dragon sort of looking thing.
Yeah, it's like a weird
lizardy
dragon chicken.
It's a lizardy thing. And he used the term Bigfoot Snallygaster to describe this hypothesis that the creature was for some reason trapped in the area by Hurricane Agnes, which is even more confusing because there's no water anywhere near this county. Like, no, like, huge bodies of water. So I have no fucking clue what the hell they're talking about. I don't agree with the framing, and I thought it was weird enough to highlight, but that's about it.
Yeah, weird.
So after its apparent move to the big city, the monster goes dormant until 1981, when next, and as far as I can tell, the final story of note about the Sykesville monster occurs. The story comes from Lon Strickler, which I'm pretty sure is a name we've heard before on this podcast. I'm not 100% sure. Mm-hmm. I feel like I've talked about him in an Alien episode at some point. Cumberland. Oh, I just recently talked about him. That's
why he's familiar.
That might be why he's familiar. I think, did he make an appearance in the Cumberland Spaceman? He might have. Anywho, or that might just be Google's search function being terrible. It was Google's search function being terrible. Cool. So he's a cryptozoologist who credits this particular encounter with his interest in the paranormal, which is always great. Love to hear why people are interested in the paranormal, because it's usually a reasonable and likely story. The date of the encounter was May 9th, 1981, about 10 a.m., and I was fly fishing for red-eye and smallmouth bass on the south branch of the Patapsco River, approximately 1 mile downstream from Route 32 near Sykesville, Maryland. The weather was sunny and slightly breezy, and the air temperature was in the low 60s. This section of the river flattens out into riffles, then empties into a larger pool, an area I had fished several times previously. So he's, you know, very detailed about this day, like,
yeah,
to a suspicious amount to me. Because anything about anything, if I know anything about people when they lie or like confabulate, they add shitload of detail that isn't necessary.
If I know anything about fishermen, is they always accurately report their stories.
They do, actually. They're famous for it. Why they call it big fish stories, because it's very, very accurate, right? It's a big deal. That's why it's a big fish. So I was on the south bank near the riffles when I noticed a stray mixed breed dog sniffing around the weeds and thickets on the north bank. The dog was about 50 yards from me, and I was weaving in and out of the brush. I wasn't worried about the dog bothering me, so I just put it out of my mind and concentrated on fishing. After a few minutes or so, I heard the dog barking and growling. I figured that he stirred up a deer, but when I looked in the direction of the ruckus, I noticed a dark, hairy creature bobbing up and down in the thickets. Suddenly, I heard a loud yelp from the dog, and the creature stood up. The best I could tell is that the thing was about 7 to 8 feet tall and had dark, matted hair. I could only see the body from the chest up because the rest of the body was obscured by weeds and thickets. I stood completely still and could hear a series of tick sounds while observing the creature walk slowly through the thickets towards the woods. I started to follow it, and in the meantime, I noticed a strong musky scent that reminded me of fox urine.
This guy, he says a lot of words, doesn't
he? Yeah, it's kind of unnaturally detailed in a way that makes me not think that I don't believe this.
He's putting in a lot of details that we don't need for this.
Bear in mind, I've cut details out. This is like the abridged version of this story, trying to get to like the most important details. And I cut like a huge section out right here after this, because like he just talks incessantly about it and like in really, really strange detail, which always makes me like, I don't know if this is whatever.
He talks a lot. It turns out the guy's got a fox piss fetish.
it doesn't have to be a lie either. It could literally just be like confabulation. where your brain creates like false memories for stuff, and like he's said this story so many times that it's like believable to him now. So like that's a real real threat here. I decided to go back to my car, drive into Sykesville, and make an immediate report to the authorities. I drove to the nearest telephone pole, telephone, which was located outside of a bar. The local police told me to go back to the area, and they would meet me there. So I got back into the car and started to drive back to the river. I was amazed that a Maryland State Police cruiser was already there. The state police officer told me to get back in my car and leave immediately because they didn't know how dangerous the situation was. I tried to explain to him that I made the initial report, but he refused to let me talk and again told me to leave. I went back to the area around an hour later, and the place is crawling with people and many state and official other official vehicles. One man standing near the road did tell me they found some hair samples but refused to say anything else. For many years, I tried to gather information from local authorities in regards to this incident, but I had always been told that there was no information available or we have no report of an incident. Since that time, I have decided I would do my own investigations and find information on my own. This is like a direct quote from his website.
Yeah.
But like I said, I cut that down. That's like me trimming the fat off of it. Right? Like, also, like, let's be real. This is like an earth-shattering moment for a person, right? How would you remember, like, the temperature of the day? And, like, I could see remembering one or two things, but, like, the amount of shit that he, like, the amount of detail he's going into seems like...
An amount of detail someone would use to try to convince that this must be true because look at how good they recall.
Recalling
things.
And once again, this could not be a lie. This could just be like pure confabulation, right? Memory is fallible, incredibly fallible, right? And like, you know, that's really what I think this is more than anything else. I don't think he's lying. I think he saw something weird and then like, all this other stuff came up around it, and like, it could even fucking be that it wasn't even related to his call. The reason why there was like there could have legitimately been cops and officers there, and it just was like, you know, whatever.
They found a body.
Yeah, like it could be so many other things, and then he's asking about the Bigfoot, and they're like, "There's nothing about a Bigfoot because there was another thing that happened."
You're like, sir, this is a crime scene.
Yeah.
Like,
nah, there's a Bigfoot.
Please leave.
So he's convinced that there's a cover-up happening.
He
says, I was always amazed at how quickly the police got there. Strickler said there was some type of cover-up. Which is funny because somebody messaged him after he posted this, which is always good and reliable on the internet. Some anonymous person sending you something. When you've expressed paranoia on your personal website. This sure brings up some old memory. I always expected sooner or later it would get out. I'm glad someone else saw it and kicked over the can. I'll add beans. Which is fucking whatever. Ooh. I was one of the first responders on that call. Right after we closed the road, a government response team arrived. Those guys weren't fooling around. Their big dogs and bigger guns made that evident. It wasn't long before we were locked out, ordered into our cruisers and away from the area. The into our cruiser part was weirdest. We were outmanned and outgunned and outranked by the feds, who had taken over. Soon after that, within an hour at most, several choppers were overhead, as in three. It was a manhunt on a larger scale than we could have mustered so quickly, and that is saying a lot. I've never really been positive what happened. None of our guys actually seen it, though I imagine it was caught or killed. They said there were hair samples and footprints in the photos and cast takens. We were debriefed and basically instructed not to speak of this matter. With that, I'll close and say no more, except it did happen, as described on here. So, one, why the fuck are they closing the road down in the first place?
Yeah, that's a guy that...
That's a dude fucking
saw
with
his
him.
Article and decided to have
that's
some
That's a
fun.
Dude fucking with him. Like, 100%. That's a dude buying into this man's confabulation, his story, and like being like, oh yeah, I can fuck with this dude. And then proceeding to fuck with him.
1,000%.
Three, like there's a 0% chance that that's anything other than that. Because, like, okay, even if Bigfoot was spotted, right, you call the cops. They're not going to fucking close off a road for a Bigfoot. They're going to send a cop there, take a statement, and then leave. If if they do anything.
Then get back to the office and throw that shit in the garbage.
Exactly. Yeah. That is the most that will happen.
Yeah.
So, whatever. Apparently then Lon, like, talked to another Bigfoot hunter, who also claimed to have found a large, like, a humanoid skeleton in the woods in the early 1980s.
And then he called the police because he found a body.
He did call the police.
Good.
And he said that the road near the location was blocked off the cops, with unmarked helicopters going in and out of an area. Allegedly, there was no reporting on the event the following day.
Why were there helicopters?
I don't fucking know. And this might be...
If it's a skeleton, it's not like the dude's still hanging out.
Yeah, they're
out,
not gonna... They're not gonna... They could literally just, like, put it in a bag.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know. This might be dismissive on my part, Brandon, but this is, like, a bunch of big if true storytelling with, like, no evidence to support it. Right?
Yeah.
I'm pretty inclined to believe that there's a fair amount of confabulation, right? Because... looking at the rest of his website, Lon Strickler strikes me as a very paranoid individual, right? And
yeah.
That's one of those things where it's like, when you're that level of paranoid, everything looks like a connection, right? So, like,
yeah,
I'm taking this with a massive grain of salt. I don't really believe, like, I don't believe he's necessarily lying. I just don't believe that this happened the way he said it happened.
No, I mean, to a man with a hammer, everything looks like a baby seal, and he's definitely...
That's a choice of words you just used there, Brandon.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Thank you for that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. But yeah, that's it. That's the Sykesville monster. I'm pretty sure it's just a fucking bear.
It's probably a skinny bear. It's
almost definitely.
And not to shit on, like, the Bigfoot community, but
it's probably a bear.
I want to say it's a bear. This one's
a bear. It's probably a bear. It's almost definitely a bear. It's always a bear. It's probably always a bear. Like, the fact that the map of Bigfoot sightings and bear sightings is, like, almost lined up perfectly.
It's probably always a bear or an escaped mental patient.
Clearly, that's a new thing that we learned today. Apparently, that is a thing. Horrifyingly.
Yeah.
Oh, that reminds me. There was a new Netflix documentary that I saw the other day. It was called What Jennifer Did. And basically, it's about a girl who gets a hit taken out on her parents because they wouldn't let her date a drug dealer. I have never seen someone who is dumber at staging a crime in my fucking life. She faked her, like, diploma from college, and, like, she said that she had gotten a pharmacological degree type thing, which is, like, nuts. Right. And her parents would, like, drop her off in Toronto to go to college and everything.
Yeah.
So, like, she maintained this lie for 4 years. And then they find out that she's, like, dating this drug dealer kid. And they're like, no. Or I think they found out that it was a combination of dating the drug dealer kid and that she hadn't actually gone to college. And they wanted her to pay back the money that they gave her. And then, like, to be with this drug dealer person, she, like, gets a hit taken out on her parents. But, like...
Oh, God.
She does it while she's in the house and pretends to be tied up to a fucking railing.
Huh.
And she calls the cops and says that, like, while her dad is still alive, mind you, and tells them that they were, like, attacked by, like, some dudes. And Brandon, if you listen to the, like, they play the 911 call, it sounds like her mouth is directly on the phone. Her hands, Brandon, were tied behind her back.
Ah!
So, like...
There you have it.
Like,
dumbest criminal ever. And they got her to talk by telling her, one of the ways that they got her to talk was telling her that satellites can look at the house and see through the house and see like the heat signatures of people walking around, so they can confirm whether or not the story matches up with the story she was telling him. And she folded like a house of cards.
Well, that's because she didn't go to college.
No, wait, not what? Even because she didn't go to college. Because she was...
That's not even that. I was trying to be funny.
No,
but everyone knows that's
she's
not...
She's dumb as shit is the problem.
Oh, God.
She's dumb as shit. It was... Brandon, it was called What Jessica Did. And it's... remarkable in its stupidity. Because also, Brandon, she came downstairs and just walked by her parents while they were getting attacked. And her dad survived, yeah. Brandon.
Oh.
And I want to point that out because she didn't have to call the cops before her dad. Like she didn't have to call the cops while her dad was still alive.
It's premature.
Yeah. So, like.
Yeah.
Her dad instantly is like, no, she fucking did it.
Yeah.
Like, she's the one who, like, was working with these people. So, like, and he said something to the effect of, like, use your cop techniques to get it out of her.
Yeah. He's like, listen, she's dumb as shit. Just lie.
Also, apparently, Canadian police are allowed to lie. It's a thing. Anywho, that's been the podcast.
I mean, I never assumed that any like official head was shooting straight. You know what
I
mean?
Well, no, I mean it's all based on the fucking Pinkerton detective agency ultimately, and that's just like,
yeah.
Like if you there was a recent dollop about the Pinkertons that I listened to, really good by the way. Fucking Pinkertons, man.
They're still around.
Yeah. Yeah, they are. It's baffling to me. They also, like, faked so much evidence, but they knew that they could fake it because, like, eventually a retraction could get posted, right? And then they could be like, whatever. The newspaper article made it, like the headline made it, so that people already believe this thing, and they believe that the Pinkertons are these great folks, and like it doesn't matter that like a week later they're like, no, it turns out that they didn't actually catch the guy, right? No one gives a shit.
Woo.
Anywho, this has been Cryptopedia. If you enjoyed it, be sure to give us a like, follow, stars, all that good stuff. Leave a comment if you have anything constructive to say. Yeah, I think that's probably the fair thing to say. Constructive. I want constructive feedback. That's what I want.
Yeah.
I don't want hate. I want constructive feedback. If we fucked up, tell us in a nice, pleasant way, because I'm happy to make amends.
Or a snarky way. I like
snark
both.
Is fine too. Snark is actually in some ways preferred, because it's aligned with our general vibe. We're on everything at CryptopediaCast. If you want to email us, CryptopediaCast@gmail.com is the best way. Us at CryptopediaCast also works sometimes, I think. Maybe. I'm not sure. The forwarding got weird. I think...
I do want to say I'm very happy like the whole like crypto scam shit and all that like is not popular anymore, because now we have fewer people showing up just thinking... We're like,
don't worry, Brandon.
They're gonna get some Ethereum or some shit from.
Don't worry,
I don't
know. Brandon. Crypto will be back. It always comes back.
It's gonna be a different. It's all a scam. It's gonna be back.
It's gonna come back in a different way, because there's
someone's gonna have a new creative way to like trick you into using blockchain shit again.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, I mean, because everyone knows that people got rich off of Bitcoin, right? So like, even though everyone knows it's a scam, everyone's still gonna be like, well, maybe I can make... I know some people got rich off of it, so maybe I can get rich off of it. It's always going to be that way. forever.
Yeah.
Forever.
There's going to be a new, and then NFTs. Yeah. There's going to be another fun scam.
Because NFTs are just a variation on the crypto grift. Like, that was all it was.
Yeah.
So the next thing is just going to be another fucking variation on the crypto grift. It's going to be another fucking variation
It's not money. It's not money itself, but the thing has value.
Yes.
Now this picture of a monkey is money.
It's actually worse than crypto. NFTs are somehow worse than crypto, which is fucking insane. But
it's still very funny of all the people just like taking a screenshot of someone's expensive monkey picture and then tweeting it back to them, and they're like, "Hey." Like, because they're like, I paid 10 grand for this picture of a monkey. You can't just take a screenshot of my picture of a monkey.
You know what the worst part about that is, too?
That shit was so funny.
It was just, like, randomly generated monkeys, too. Like, they drew up a bunch of, like, bits. And then, like, it was just a randomly fucking generated monkey, which is, like, the dumbest shit in the world. Anywho, we have a Patreon. If you want to keep the lights on, you can donate there. And here are the people who donate. Thank you. We're friends. We like you.
We're friends. Thank you. It's Clay Sinclair, Marty Von Party, Bird Schneider, Lenwood Sharp, Matthew Smith, Bushcraft, Kelso, and Will Smith. Wiki. Wow.
Said the written view stuff. If you have any monster requests or stories, be sure to send them in. I'm always looking for stuff that is... Because almost all the stuff I want to cover requires me to do, like, a lot of work.
Yeah.
So if you have any easy ones, send those in. I'd love to talk about those. Because I have a tendency of picking the most complicated shit imaginable.
Yeah. Oh, lots of fun stuff. You can find me on Instagram at donkey_hands. My website is boyerb.com. My email is brandon@cryptopediacast.com. And my Twitter is @HeinzCanada.
Is it? Oh, yeah, that is...
I went back and started looking at some wild tweets, and then I remembered the whole thing where the hockey team was like, vote for whatever and tweet at Heinz Canada. And I was like, oh, this has gone too far.
I'm on Instagram at Mew2057. My ex-bird is JF Dunham. My website's johndunhamgames.com, and I am john@cryptopediacast.com.
And shout out to the Toronto Senators hockey team for believing I was fucking Heinz Canada and partnering with me to pick some shit someone else tweeted. it's actually kind of good that I got banned, and then
you were allowed to do that for too long, though. Like, let's be real,
it went on for too long. This goes back to my loving was done by Tom Hill. You can find him on Instagram at Thomas Michael Hill. His website is greaterglory.co.com, and his email is tommichael.com. I love lying about trivial things, and that's why I just made at Heinz Canada and over half the tweets, because they have an archival like a historical ads from the past on their website. So half my shit was legit recipes from their website, or like Throwback Thursday, here's an old ad from the 70s for Heinz ketchup. And then sometimes it was me doing fake stuff, implying that some competition may be allowed for some animal semen to enter their product.
God damn it, Brandon. Anywho, that's been the podcast. We're going to end on semen, because that's about right. But that's our legacy of podcasting, I think.
Yeah. Of all the podcasts, ours has the most cum.
It does. Well, I mean, when we tried to do a podcast years ago, it started with papal genitalia, so...
That was a fun story. Yeah. In my head, they still do it and inspect the Pope's balls.
Yeah.
There's a lady pretended to be the Pope once, and then they found out, and then after that, they had to check your balls to make sure you could still be the Pope.
Fucking
look it up.
Fucking hate our world. Anywho, I'm John.
I'm Brandon.
And things are gonna get weird.